The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects podcast. I'm David Sears, my very talented friend and co-host, Liz DeMoisey. Gifted and Talented Education Rejects is a podcast for the brilliant misfits, burned-out brainiacs, and neurospicy overachievers who never quite fit the mold or did until they decided the mold was pointless. We qualified, but we weren't in the program. Now we're taking the mic.
Welcome to the podcast, Middle Life for all the grown-up former gifted kids who once feared going to bed early, but now we enjoy it.
If you've got your own gifted kid starter pack, the thing you once thought was a punishment but now look forward to, drop it in our comments or DMs. We might read it in the next episode. Liz, welcome to the podcast. How are we doing today?
You know what? We're here. We're good. We're good.
There you go.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been a few weeks since we've done an episode. I was on a birthday trip. Then I caught COVID. And it was a great birthday trip. Had an absolute blast there going to see the Packers play in Lambeau. Then my buddy Paul surprised me with a trip to NLCS game one to see the Dodgers versus the Brewers, which is my first ever playoff game that wasn't a college football playoff game or postseason game. It was amazing. It was a great atmosphere. The Brewers lost a heartbreaker, but it was an amazing atmosphere. A lot of fun with Paul and his two eldest kids, Jacob and Maggie. Halloween was pretty low key for us. We got some Chinese and watched 1978 Halloween. So it was pretty chill, just low key. We had candy, but we didn't see any trick or treaters because we didn't have any trick or treaters. We had some kids making a big fuss or something outside our house, so we were checking to see if we were getting egged. But nope, there was nothing there. Nothing there.
No eggs or toilet paper.
No eggs or toilet paper in the morning. So yeah. It's been a fun few weeks except for the COVID, which was really rough. How are you doing? What all you been up to?
Well, I was looking over the notes and everything and I was like, oh my gosh, it's been like 3 weeks since we've actually been able to sit down and do this. Over the past 3 weeks, let's see. First, we had an ER visit for my son. You had COVID, so we weren't able to film that 1 week because you felt awful. And then when you were feeling better, that was when AJ, my son, he fell and he got a gash in his forehead. So we had to take him to the ER. And he's probably going to have a little scar on his forehead, but, you know, I've got one on my chin. So, you know, it's the rite of passage. I got mine right about that age from a coffee table.
I've got one from a coffee table below my right eye, and I've got one up here. I've got one right in the middle from basketball when a kid's fingernail, there was Paul. Jammed. Paul actually, he scratched my cornea, and he gashed me between the eyes, and then I've got my chin busted open multiple times. I think the last time I busted it open was running for the ferry at Epcot and slipping on the slippery pavement. Landing chin first. I got stitches at the medic unit at Epcot. They were able to put stitches in there. So
I don't think they could do that anymore. I think now
it was the 80s, man. They did so much stuff in the 80s. So I'm glad AJ's all right.
Yes. He's also this past week. It was our very first week of ABA therapy for him. And that is applied behavioral analysis therapy. It's different now than how it has been in the previous years. It's a little bit more neurodivergent affirming, so it's not teaching them to mask so much as it's just teaching them how to react in social situations so things are second nature, not, you know, don't twirl your hair, don't do this, don't do that. It's, he loves it. He is absolutely loving it. And I'm excited because it was a big change for me. We tried putting him in a micro school back in January because he has trouble in big crowds. He gets overstimulated. And so I thought that would be ideal for him. But 10 kids was still too many. And when I went to pick him up at the end of the day, he's a full head taller than all the other kids. So it was like watching Godzilla chase a bunch of little like Tokyo townspeople. And they were all running from him. And he's not mean or anything. He just wanted to hug and like, you know, wanted to interact with them. But because he's so big and he, you know, he doesn't always have like the spatial awareness or the personal space awareness, you know, they were all like frightened of him. But over here where he's at, just in this past week, he's kind of established himself as the friendly kid and the one that the other kids want to come do like the peer-to-peer activities with. So he's kind of becoming Mr. Popularity, which is good.
How's he doing with his speech therapy? Is he getting more verbal or?
Yes. That is another thing they're working with him on. They have a speech therapist there that is working with him. And for Halloween, he was French fries. He was a pack of French fries. That's his favorite food. And the funny thing is he doesn't really say trick or treat. He was just going up to people saying hi and then thank you. And then usually telling them good job afterwards.
Aww.
So we got to work on the whole trick or treat thing, but you know, the praise was good. I think people like
it. Hey, he's getting out of his comfort zone too. Cause he's not a crowd person, as you said.
And no, he's not.
How long did he last before he had his meltdown?
It was about 30 minutes. And then, his social battery was worn out. Gotcha. So.
Did you take him for some French fries so he could be French fries eating French fries?
No, he got French fries on the way home from school, and then we pulled out the outfit.
Nice.
And he was all excited, and he's like looking at the fries and fries. Fries? What?
Nice. Oh, that's so cool. So also, we have a birthday upcoming. I believe it is a week from Monday. Is it the 8th or the 9th?
It's the 8th. It's next Saturday.
Holy cow, it is. My days are all messed up. Like, I took an amazing nap this afternoon after after all my activities and grocery shopping. So I'm a little confused. But yeah, so next Saturday, I got to get your birthday card in the mail. The big 43.
Oh my God. It's ridiculous.
You got any big plans?
I can't believe. Yes, I'm actually having a birthday party over at my mom's. And we're doing like a Love Boat sail away party theme.
Nice.
It's our cast off party. So,
who's Isaac? Who's Isaac? Who's going to be your bartender?
I don't know if we have an Isaac, but we'll think of something. I know, I'm trying to find like props and hats and costumes and stuff to do like a little photo booth area.
Aww.
Because when you go on cruises, there's always like a little photo area. And, you know, back in the old days when you would cruise, it was like you had your own personal paparazzi chasing you around. Every single thing you were doing, there were the photographers coming around wanting to get pictures of you. And it'd be nice to do like a photo booth type thing. We're also doing some Love Boat trivia, and if people want to come dressed up as cheesy 1970s tourists, they could do that. Or if they wanted to wear, like last year we did Golden Girls, so everybody wore like caftans and like the 1980s grandma type stuff.
Nice. Now, I will say, the Love Boat is still popular here in Birmingham, Alabama, or outside Birmingham, mm-hmm. Alabama. One of the digital stations plays nothing but old TV. And where I go to get my CPLAT supplies, they have the constant old TV on because they don't have to worry about, you know, inappropriate innuendo or anything.
Oh, yeah.
So the other day
Charo.
Yeah. I walk in, it's Laverne and Shirley doing the 1976 Bicentennial Review. And then it goes into the Love Boat. So I've been in there before. It's been I Love Lucy. So it's just fun to watch this old school stuff that, you know, Nick at Night used to do before it became All Friends and Everybody Loves Raymond now.
Yes.
So I miss old Nick at Night, and it's a good memory.
I know. Bewitched and all
Dick
that
Van
stuff.
Dyke it's, Show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Oh, Get Smart. I used to love Get Smart.
Maxwell Smart. Also the voice of Inspector Gadget. So.
Yes.
Well, if.
And Tennessee Cop Hat, the penguin.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So if we're going to do our opening warm-up question, if you could reopen one store from your childhood mall exactly as it was, which one would it be, and what's the first thing you'd buy? Me, I loved Suncoast Motion Pictures. That was
I remember that.
That was my store. I always would go in there, try to find movies. Funny story, during the transition from VHS to DVD, my father loved October Sky. It's a great movie with Jake Gyllenhaal about a West Virginian teen who gets obsessed with
NASA.
Yes,
the bottle rockets.
Yes. Yes. And develops rockets. And my dad, huge NASA nerd, loves NASA. Anyway, so I'm going to get that for his birthday because it came out in October because it was called October Sky. Right. So I go to get it for his birthday in July. And I said, hi, do you have this movie, October Sky? Like, yes, here it is. I was like, all right, do you have it on VHS? Yes, here. And she kept giving me the DVD, thinking the DVD was a VHS. I was like, no, this is a DVD. Aww. I need a VHS. And
tape.
Yep. It was really fun because she was just completely just like, she was so focused on selling that because it was the movie. But she didn't understand the different formats. She was a new one. And I felt bad for her.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Because I was just like, oh, come on. You got to understand the different formats if you're going to work here. Because that's right around that turn. Now, the one in Tuscaloosa was in the University Mall in Tuscaloosa. And I used to go there Sunday afternoons. In fact, one of Lila and I's first dates when I went to spend the weekend with her, we went to Suncoast and I bought her a Mystery Science Theater 3000 set. Back when they'd sell the 4-pack of DVDs of 4 episodes they got recently.
Gosh, those are amazing. Yeah.
So we have a bunch of them. We have about 32 volumes. So we own most of the series, the ones they've released. I even, one Christmas, I went and got her the limited edition, by accident, Godzilla movie they did. They got Godzilla, but they didn't license it, but they had already sent out all the DVD packages.
Oh.
So I paid, at the time, $125 for the used set, but it had it included.
Oh my gosh, that's so great.
Well, this is before, like right now, it's worth like $500 on eBay because it's a high quality DVD copy, which most of it is right now. You can pirate a lot of them, but they're not great quality because they're generally VHS dubs. So
yeah,
this was really cool. And then, I would go to the Suncoast right now and buy a Mystery Science Theater 3000 volume with 4 DVDs in it. That was just my absolute favorite thing to do when they'd get the new ones coming out, check them to see if they had any limited edition ones. And we've got some that would have like, there's one that has a crow and a Tom Servo and a gypsy. We have the little figures up there behind us. We've got them all up there. Now that they've got the MST3K app, with pretty much everything on there, we do it unless there's an episode.
I still have Santa Claus versus the Martians.
Yes. It's Santa Claus. Favorite. It's Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
Yes.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians with a young Pia
These
Zadora.
Children are forced to stay.
Yes. Oh yes. The horrible. No. The worst one was Santa Claus versus Satan. And
I didn't see that one.
It's they start off with like Santa Claus Workshop, and it's got kids from around the world. And
maybe that's the one I saw.
It's kids from around the world. They're singing songs, and then instead of a specific country, it just says Africa, and it's got them dressed in stereotypical African clothing, and like the robots and Mike just go boo movie, boo, which is one of our Christmas traditions. As we watch that, we rotate through that. But I miss Suncoast. I miss going in there, looking through the DVDs, physical media is important. And I just hate that it's going away. Everything's going digital. I understand, like right now I only buy the MCU movies and the Pixar movies. I've got every single one of those on physical media. I just miss physical media and like having, like, I know you can kind of see it behind me, the wall of physical media. I know it runs out eventually, you run out of space, which is one of the good things about digital, but Suncoast was Motion Pictures was my store. Plus you could buy amazingly tacky clothing and souvenirs. So
I'm similar. Hands down, my favorite was Borders or Virgin Megastore. And yeah, I know it's the whole, we download our music now, we download our movies. I don't care. My favorite part was always the book section. And, you know, I would go up and I would spend hours in the book section. And especially Virgin Megastore, because they had all of like the Vogue from Italy, they had Vogue from France, they had magazines from all over the world. And I loved it. I miss the feeling of going there, especially the big one that they had at Downtown Disney. You would go up the escalator and it was like you were going to a different world. And Borders, that bargain section near the front, that was dangerous. I would already have my arms full of books and then I would just go through there going to the checkout line. And I would see something on Egyptian mummies, or I would see Roman mythology, or I would see astronomy or astrology. And I would just, I don't have this one. $3.99? Knowledge is priceless. Or you know it, I've got like $20 worth of books that I didn't even account for. And, yeah, I don't care. That's exactly what I miss. What was the mall food court order that made you feel like you had your life together at 14 years old?
Planet Smoothie Twig and Berries. It was a strawberry, banana, and frozen yogurt smoothie. It was my go-to, and I'd add some vitamin C to it. And that was my go-to. Every time we went to the Galleria, I had to get a Planet Smoothie Twig and Berries.
Honestly, I'd say anytime I did not get Chick-fil-A and didn't get the chicken nuggets and the fries. So if I like went to the Japanese place and just got like the grilled chicken and rice, you know, that's that's an improvement over doing Chick-fil-A.
Now, I will say when I moved to Alabama and there were standalone Chick-fil-A's outside the mall, I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
It is. That's like Big Pimpin'.
It is. So if you message us on our Gator official, that's G-A-T-E-R official on Instagram, we'll pick one to shout out next week on what your food court order was. So wrapping up from our last show, the previously on Gifted and Talented Education Rejects, we talked purity rings, promise rings, and dial-up. Turns out none of that taught us how to date, just how to overthink.
David did Baptist youth group on hard mode. Meanwhile, in Florida, I got the weaponized STD textbook and accidentally became a walking symptom checker. We also learned TMI delayed everything and how shame sneaks through with the whole be a good kid thing.
We survived aim crushes, away message poetry, and the friend zone with cheerleaders. And compatibility, it's rhythm, not playlists. So show up for each other's weird little joys. Sit through the second set of Body Boys without complaint. You only have to endure it once a year.
That reminds me of the Body Boys. We're at the Lady of the Lakes Ren Fair in Howie in the Hills, and I missed it again because I'm in Arizona.
Oh.
And I saw it on their Facebook today. I was like, I gotta see. Is it this weekend or next weekend? Darn it, it was this weekend.
Oh.
It was my thing. Usually, you know, my birthday would come around and they had the Ren Fair right around my birthday. And I was like, this is freaking great. But I missed it again. Our origin parks still feel like home. It's MGM Hollywood Studios for David, Animal Kingdom for myself. They were the places where we learned wonder and we still chase it to this day.
And here's some homework. What spark of magic did you keep, and who do you want next to you when it shows up? Tag at GatorOfficial on Instagram and Threads. So now we are going to step into our first topic of the day. Do you remember the first time you realized there were no more grades in adult life? Like, when did the report card stop coming and the existential crisis start? What does achievement even mean when you're 40 and tired? To me, it was working in a restaurant. I was trying to get in cut my teeth on radio, and I was running. It was called Club 103.7 The Q, and it was the dance music from like 11 to 2 in the morning. And we had a guy who would go out to the clubs, and Nick Nice, and he would be on the clubs. I'd record him to some devices that were old school. Now you don't even, I don't even think they use them anymore. But it was basically, you would record the hit to a button, and then you'd find a dance break when it was just nothing but music, and you'd play that segment, his hit over there saying, come on down to such and such club and da, 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 da. And I did that. I would finish working at the restaurant around 9, which was on the far east side of Birmingham, then drive into Birmingham proper and go up Red Mountain to the radio station. And it's where I learned that showing up on time and fixing problems doesn't get you anything, you know? Like, one night the board wouldn't come on, so I had to figure out a way to redneck engineer it to get it played, because he has to hit over the talk, because he has sponsors he has to talk about. He has to promote the club. So I kind of figured out a way to do it, and I messaged the engineer, and he was like, okay. Like, not good job or way to fix the problem. It was just like, okay. So that was one of those, like, I guess no matter what you do, you just can't really really get praise for it. You can't get an A for effort or anything. So this was 2006, 2007, right when Lyle and I was engaged. So we're engaged. So that was when I learned all the hard way that, you know, You're just expected to do stuff. You don't get rewarded for doing stuff.
Yeah, that was about the time I came to the realization that at my next job, I want to be the nice but stupid person. Because if you're the stupid person, it's not the stupid person's problem. It's everybody else's problem that they're stupid. And, you know, they usually kind of take pity on you. And then, oh, God bless them. Oh, God love them. At least they're showing up on time.
Exactly.
Bless your pee picking heart. Yeah, that whole thing. And so I've always wanted to be the stupid person at work. Because when you're stupid, nobody relies on you for anything. And when you actually have a good idea that works, you might have to try to sell people on it because you've already got that reputation built up. But, you know, they don't rely on you for stuff because they're like, well, what are they going to come up with? But when you do come up with something that works, they are genuinely impressed. But when you're the smart person at work, oh, they expect it of you. It is always expected of you to, like, make the grade and always do the right thing. And when you do something that doesn't work out, nobody remembers all those times you did things that did work out.
Yep.
And that's annoying.
Yep. 100%. 100% there. You know, maybe achievement is just not quitting on yourself, because there are some days you just really want to throw in the towel because you just get so frustrated. Like, I had last week, was my first week back from COVID, and I had a customer service where I had to keep the, yes, I'm sorry that is happening, but let me explain to you why it's happening, and just getting caught constantly. And it was just, she was just getting so frustrated, and I'm trying to keep her calm and keep my calm. And it was just a very, very draining. Like, I told Lila, I was like, I'm going to be late coming from work, because I just need to sit in my car and listen to some Four Parks, One World just to decompress a little bit, because it was an absolute shitstorm. So, But my boss said I handled it well. Everyone there that heard it, because everyone got real quiet in the clinic because we're really busy and we're going on in the and everything starts getting real quiet in the clinic because everyone's listening to me. It went for about 15 minutes. And one of the parents was like, damn, you need a cigarette after that? So, but yeah. So maybe achievement's just not quitting on yourself. What's your current report card comment in life if it was still graded? Liz shows improvement in not needing a Xanax before braving a Trader Joe's parking lot. David gets a,
yeah, that's true.
David gets a gold star for putting up with a customer who is quite the pain in the butt. Tell us about it on Instagram or Threads at Gator Official. That's G-A-T-E-R Official on Instagram and Threads. And speaking of wandering around looking for validation, when was the last time you had a dream that felt like it took place in a mall or some weird mashup of all your childhood hangouts? So right now, Mall World is trending on TikTok, where tons of people are sharing their dreams that take place in these huge maze-like shopping malls. Picture endless hallways with weird escalators and food courts that somehow feel both familiar and off, and it's blowing up and no one's really sure why. One artist shared a detailed map of her recurring dream and it went viral. After that, loads of others chimed in saying that they've had similar dream experiences, and malls have this like liminal vibe.
It's like the liminal space. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of stuck between childhood nostalgia and adult emptiness, which makes them emotionally rich and relatable in a weird way. Because I know for a fact when I went to the Galleria a few weeks ago, because my psychiatrist's office is there, I was just like, I had a little time. I was going to walk around. It's so weird because there's not the big, like, there's still a hot topic, but it's not the hot topic from our 20s, you know?
Oh, yeah. It used to be corporate goth, and now it's like, not really corporate goth anymore.
It's just, and it's so weird. Like the Suncoast there is now some type of weird store that's not there. And so all this mall world, this weird world between world stuff. Some psychologists are saying it's nothing out of the ordinary. Malls are places we know, so they pop up in our dream as part of how our brains work through stuff while we sleep. Others think it's a metaphor for adult life, depicting how we wander around searching for things, make choices, feel lost, and get consumed by it all. And I actually, mine is like a hybrid mashup of a mall, my church, and Disney World when I have those dreams.
I and can see that.
It's like all three of those places kind of combined, because my church in Birmingham was ginormous. It was nicknamed, it was nicknamed Six Flags Over Jesus. So Fort God, I mean, it's just this massive church, and it was just
Southland and Lexington is like that. It feels like you're walking around at the Orlando Convention Center, the Orange County Convention Center. It's like airport concourses almost.
It's huge. And it is just, it's got shops, it's got rides. Like, part of it I think was cause I watched a video. There's in the, what's the Mall of America has like a Ninja Turtles ride. And I was watching that the other day. It was in my Ninja Turtles Reddit thread and I was just watching it and I ended up dreaming like that. And then it made me go on like the Rock and Roller Coaster, but it had already been rethemed to Muppets. So it was the Muppet Rock and Roller Coaster. It was
that'd just be amazing.
Well, that's what they're retheming it. They're retheming it to a Muppet.
They are?
Yeah. They're getting rid of Aerosmith and making it a Muppet ride.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. So my brain kind of just made it up for me. Now, if I go ride it and it's like my brain, I'm going to be like, that's crazy. Which happens, the deja vu. You and I both believe in the deja vu.
Oh yeah.
But it's,
I knew where the Tron ride was going to be like back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I had visions of that in 2006, way before like the Tron Legacy movie was even like announced. And this was even before like the Tron Light Cycle ride in Hong Kong. Was it Shanghai?
I think it's Shanghai or Hong Kong. I think it's Shanghai.
Yeah, it was before that. I was like walking in the dream in front of cosmic rays, and there was like a Tron Light Cycle ride that I could see over just on the other side of where the Tomorrowland Speedway is.
It's so weird when because you dream that weird hybrid world, and then sometimes it turns into reality. It's just so weird. Yeah, but yeah,
it does.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. So what's your Mall World experience?
So whenever I dream of Mall World, it's work. Because I worked at Bath and Body Works.
Yeah, you worked.
Yes, I worked at Bath and Body Works for, God, I want to say about 4 or 5 Christmases. I still love Christmas, though. That's the thing. It did not kill me on Christmas. They tried. Lord, they tried. Anyway, so I always, if I'm dreaming of a shopping mall, I'm always dreaming that I'm late back from my work or back to work from my break. And I got brave and went down to the food court instead of just, you know, eating an Auntie Anne's pretzel and praying for, you know, the sanity to get through my shift. But yeah, I'm always like trying to get back to Bath and Body Works, and it's Christmas and the mall is packed and I'm dodging people. That's usually what I dream about with Mall World. People are reporting seeing, like, you know, this big movie theater entrance up on the second story and things like that. I've never seen that. I am always dreaming of like Florida Mall over in Orlando as it was like in the early mid 2000s. But what I do see a lot of is Toilet World, Bathroom World, Locker Room World, and Spa World. I see that all the time. And it drives me nuts, because usually if it's like Toilet World, it's because I'm somewhere else in the dream and I have to go. But I find a bathroom and there is zero privacy. And I'm pee shy around most humans. If it's inner circle, some of my family members, fine, but that's it. Closed door policy. Peeing in the woods, on the roadside, nope, 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 nope. I will risk my bladder bursting or an infection. So it's harrowing for me to realize how wide the partition slits are, or, you know, getting in there and realizing even before I sit down, I'm taller than the partition and everything. So, you know, nothing's covered and there will be other people filing in. It was the 22nd. It was the night. No, it was the 21st, 22nd. Of October. I ended up in Locker Room World. And for me, Locker Room World is never like gym locker world. It's always like spa facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm all worked up on this one because holy crap, this one like threw me through a tizzy. So I go in, and this is like this beautiful, almost modern Asian themed spa. It feels like you walk in and you're in like Korea or Shanghai, something like that. Very black lacquer, smooth everything, very minimalist, but has like peonies everywhere. And so I go into what I think are the ladies' facilities, but they're not. As soon as I get to where the toilets are, I see urinals and I immediately think, oh my God. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I look down. Okay. No, I'm not male. Okay. I am in the wrong spot, but you know what? I have to go. There's toilets in here. I'll just go use the toilet. I go to the little toilet area. The door, like the glass on it, was opaque. Once I get in there, it is transparent. That was a nightmare in itself. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I got to get out of here. Maybe I could just do what I got to do and then I can leave. But then I hear voices and I see men coming in. And I'm like, oh God, I'm trapped. There is no peeing and just running out now. People can see in. Other people are coming in. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get out of here. So I open the door. And when I open the door, I look across. And across from the toilet, there was a shower stall and there was someone famous in there, and he's like really good looking, like really, really good looking.
Like he's famous, or like,
it is, oh yeah. Yeah. It's like, it was someone famous.
Or was it like a famous person you're embarrassed to say?
Oh, it's a famous person. I'm not naming any names, but he's like super good looking, super in shape, couple tattoos, got in a towel, but not wearing the towel. He's drying off with the towel. So of course I looked.
You gotta see what he's carrying.
Yeah. It was a lot like the whole, Dracula Dead and Loving It. I saw nothing. I saw nothing. I saw everything. That was it. And he stops and he looks at me, and you know, I'm like mid checking him out, but I'm also kind of shell shocked. And I just kind of look up, see him, and I'm like, all right. And I leave, and I like book it out of there as fast as I can. But then once I'm out of the spa area and in the hotel lobby, I realize my purse is in the stall right across from the naked guy. And I'm like, I'm not going back there for that. Luckily, I woke up. But yeah, I saw someone famous naked in the dream, and I'm wondering if I could identify him in real life now.
You should say his name. Say his name. Who is it?
No.
In case he's listening. Okay. So tell.
I doubt it, but.
There you go. Tell us your experience. Have you ever dreamed of Mall World, Toilet World, or Theme Park World, or gotten to tour all three in one night? DM or tag us on Gator Official. That's GATER Official on Instagram and Threads.
Tell us your weirdest snack ritual or Mall World dream. No judgment, only laughs. We might share the best ones next week. If I actually look in our DMs,
you need to check our DMs. You need to check our DMs. So lots of us have noticed our friends taking up new hobbies in our midlife. You ever notice how men tend to either get into World War II grilling or yard work right now? Midlife hobbies are basically the electives we never got to take. So we spent our 20s proving to ourselves, our 30s surviving. Now it's like, maybe I'll learn pottery or raise a quail or get into falconry.
Take falconing.
Yeah.
Falconing, man.
So,
I am not without my own weird hobbies. I've always written. It started back in 2022. I just decided, screw it. I'm just going to try to publish some of the stuff I've written. And so I started really diving in. And I've found that I like monsters. I like orcs. I like werewolves.
Bigfoot?
No.
No Sasquatches?
Absolutely not. No Sasquatch. We have a couple skunk apes that are secondary characters, but there is no skunk ape love going on. But dragon shifters, oh yes. 7-foot himbo aliens, absolutely.
You've always loved aliens.
I've always loved aliens. Oh my gosh.
You're a Riker. Yeah. You're totally a Riker.
I was not a Riker. I was a Worf. I was all about Worf. Worf and Troy got together. Everyone was like, huh? And I was like, yes. Yes. I will bring honor to this house. Oh my gosh. But yeah, so I am writing spicy monster novels with the intent to publish all 25 of them and much more. My husband himself, he bought a shrimp tank, or he put together a fish tank that he is housing these little bitty shrimp in. And I'm really proud of him, because previous generations would have had affairs or bought Corvettes. But here's my husband raising these adorable little Mexican crayfish. 5 shrimp and 4 tropical fish that he kind of hates, but he bought them and he's still taking care of them. They don't really have much attitude or anything, but that little crayfish is adorable. He can't keep snails alive for the life of him, which, you know, that's kind of funny, because usually they thrive on neglect, but we've lost 3 snails. So
before Steve took a turn with his ALS, he had an aquarium. And That was his Zen garden. He had an outdoor garden and he had his aquarium. He ended up, we could never keep all the snails out. Like there would be a snail explosion about once a quarter. He'd keep one or two snails
in
there.
They mate.
And then there'd just be a bunch of snails in there and he would be trying to get rid of them. Several of them went down the porcelain throne as he got rid of them. But he loved it. He and my mother-in-law loved their aquarium and he would work so hard on that, making sure it was clean and that everything was right for there. And Kofi, our orange cat, would get up there and he would sit on the couch and just stare in there and bap the side trying to get the fish. So he loved that. I'm learning Spanish. That's my new hobby. I've been learning Spanish, trying to get better with, languages. It's kind of because we're seeing an uptick in Hispanic clients at physical therapy. Mm-hmm. And most of the times the kids will speak English, but the parents don't. And yeah. I'm trying to not make the kids have to be the, go-between. So I'm working on that. So between an app on my phone, the Apple Translate and the, Duolingo I've been learning how to be better at Spanish. So that's my real hobby. I want to get back into video games. I got a bunch of cool video games for my birthday, but I just haven't been able to play them yet because I just haven't had time. But I am looking forward to getting into those. A bunch of Ninja Turtle games, that the arcade game from when we grew up, Turtles in Time from when we grew up, and then some other stuff. So I'm excited about that. So tag us on Gator Official on Instagram or Threads. That's GATER to tell us your new midlife hobby. So we'll end it where we normally end it, with a closing question. And today we're going to say, what's your weirdest comfort food combo or sensory snack ritual? Like, are you a chips and pickle juice person, or do you microwave your ice cream because you need it melty and emotionally available? Me, I am a hummus dude. Hummus and carrot sticks.
Really?
Yeah, hummus, roasted garlic hummus and carrot sticks.
Oh, that's good.
The Walmart brand, like, I have to portion it out because I can eat an entire thing of hummus in one sitting. And then,
that's me with the roasted red pepper hummus from Sam's Club.
See, roasted red pepper is okay. It's not my big one. I'm a roasted garlic dude. And there's this cedar hummus from Publix that is organic.
Ooh, and we have it here.
They roast the garlic, so it's that sweet garlic taste mixed in with it. And they've got big chunks of it in there. That is my go-to. I love that. It is something I absolutely love eating with carrot sticks. I can just eat those and baby carrots all day. Now, Lila gets a little complainy because I will smell like garlic because I will just eat so much of it. Sometimes I even add extra garlic to it. Like we have a raw minced garlic, big container I bought from Sam. And sometimes I'll add some extra garlic to it. And so she's just like, you smell like garlic. Like you smell like garlic. Like I'm thankful you'll keep the vampires away, but I don't want to kiss you.
I think for me, it's the teriyaki chicken. That's like my dopamine and my, I'm stressed or I'm overwhelmed and I really don't know what to make sort of food. And I'm constantly chasing the old flavors of Yakitori House of Epcot.
Nice.
Back in the 90s. And I don't know what they used to do because I can't find it in the old Cooking with Mickey's cookbook. Either the volume one, the volume two. I don't have volume three. That's the blue cover. But I think that was more Disneyland recipes anyway. I don't know. And when I look at the recipes on allears.net or allears.com, they don't really tell you what they did. But it tasted like they would put a piece of sushi rice in the steamer or something, or maybe they would put it in the warming tray because there was a faint aromatic pickled ginger type taste in the rice. And I don't know if it was sushi rice that they used to use or if it was just sort of starchy and sticky from the sheer volume being made, and they would keep it like in the warming tray. But I'm always trying to get like that texture and that taste, and I haven't quite done it. And then at any given time, I will always have at least 2 packs of chicken thighs or boneless, skinless chicken breast and teriyaki sauce in the freezer, marinating and waiting.
Do you make your own teriyaki sauce, or do you pre-buy
sometimes?
Because I could definitely see you making your own, trying to get that Disney style.
I have, but if I'm really feeling lazy, I'm just getting like the Banchan's Japanese barbecue sauce and using that, because that's about the closest thing that I've found. It's not identical, but it hits a lot of the same spots. Other than that, it's like the Kikkoman, like the really expensive Kikkoman one, not like your basic orange bottle teriyaki, but there's one, it's like kind of thickened with roasted sesame seeds in it. That one is kind of close, but not quite. But yeah, the Japanese barbecue sauce is the closest thing I've found. And for me, it's very much a comfort thing, because I've talked about it a little before. I was incredibly picky. My son is. And it was an awful inconvenience to everyone. Because even like smells of things like lettuce and raw onions would get me going. And if you ask my mom, I was just bitching and needed to tough it out. It always went, "Oh, shush, just tough it out." And it was normal. Like when we would go to Epcot, everyone would go get burgers. And because at Liberty Inn back in those days at the American Adventure, the counter service spot, they had burgers and they had a topping bar. And I could smell the topping bar all the way over, like in the middle of the dining area where the fountain was.
I remember that. I remember the topping bar.
Yeah. And they had one like at Pecos Bills too. And, oh God, what was it? It was the electric umbrella. That was the other one that had it. But that particular one, it's like you would go to the middle of the dining area and I could already smell the topping bar and I'd be complaining about the smell.
You've always had a really good sense of smell, which always made me laugh that you were so obsessed with farts. So I was like,
follow a scent trail, man. I know who did it.
You're part bloodhound. That always made me funny. It's like, cause like you were super sensitive. Cause I remember when fifth grade, some boys weren't using deodorant and you would like freak out cause they just stank to high heaven.
I knew who it was. I was just too polite to say who.
But you would be that. I mean, I remember there was one day, like my mom's like, "You got to start using deodorant," to me. And I started using the spray on right guard because anything less was uncivilized, because Charles Barkley used it. That's why I used right guard. But it is just amazing to me, like as smell sensitive as you are, how much you love farts.
Well, it's not that I love farts, just I think you're funny, but it's like all types of smells. I will sit there and analyze stuff. Like, what was it? Somebody brought something really gross in, and I'm like, wow, what's that, cabbage? I forget what it was. It was something that like died in the refrigerator. I think it was someone's takeout. It died and someone opened it up. And I'm over here and I'm just like, wow, like bok choy and Napa cabbage. Who was eating that? But it's true. I mean, I've followed scent trails before. Like people would come in to the movie theater back when I was 16, and occasionally you'd have like some young guy that like marinated himself in Axe body spray. And his girlfriend would be looking for him or something and be describing him. And I knew exactly who she was talking about. I didn't know what theater he went in, but I could smell it. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I think you guys went into SWAT. took her to House One where the SWAT movie was, because I could smell the Axe Phoenix all the way.
Wow.
That's but nuts. Yeah, so usually going to Japan, that was someplace that grandma would take me while my mom and my grandpa would go walk around. And grandma would take me there and get me the chicken teriyaki and rice. And, you know, usually I would get lectured for my pickiness and occasionally shamed. But grandma didn't make me feel bad about it. And I think maybe it's me still chasing that, feeling like I'm not too much, I'm not too picky, or I'm not too sensitive.
Just kind of you and your grandmother bonding there. Yeah, I get that. It's a comfort food. Like my mom makes a thing called, I named it Chicken Parisienne. It's really not that fancy. It's cream of mushroom soup mixed with some chicken broth, and she cooks the chicken in it, and it gets really nice and delicious. And then you pour the sauce over rice and over the chicken. Now, it's one of my absolute favorite things in the world. It is a comfort food that when generally she cooks for us, I ask for her to kick it. She'll even make some without mushrooms for my Lila, because Lila is not a mushroom fan. She's a hobbit who hates mushrooms. It's just that feeling, you know, that was comfort at 3575 Suzette Drive, just chilling there in our kitchen, eating that for dinner with some green beans. You know, it was good. So if you want to feature you in our next episode, tell us your reject story, tell us your comfort food, tell us anything, respond to some of our questions for you. You can DM us on Instagram at Gator Official. That is G-A-T-E-R, Gator with an E, official, or tag us on Threads or Instagram so we can share it next week. So, all right, well, we got to get out of here. Go follow our official account on Instagram and Threads from the link on our official Instagram account. You will link to previous episodes, updates, and links to show your support for myself and my co-host as a sponsor of the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects. Liz, how can they find you on social media?
I am at Liz DeMoisey Books. That is Liz DeMoisey, DeMoisey Books on Instagram. Yes, I did update it. I no longer have the little backspaces in there. And my TikTok handle is exactly the same.
I'm at DavidSears75 on Twitter, at DavidSears1982 on Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but I don't post. I just get videos from Lila and Liz and my cousin Lauren. So if you want to send me some, feel free to send me some. I love it. I'm really into Chit right now. He is my favorite. Have you seen Chit?
I think so. He's
like, success. He's got a really bad mustache and a bowl cut.
Yes.
Yes. We just got his Halloween episode, which was hilarious. Liz, it has been a pleasure. Can't wait to talk to you next Sunday. Can't wait to figure out what we're going to talk about next week.
We'll figure it out. I might have stories from the party, because my mom lives in an active 55 and up community, and everybody loves the party.
I'm just hearing you're going to have 55-year-old swingers at your party. That's what I'm
hearing. Maybe.
There you go. For Liz DeMoisey, I'm David Sears. This has been the Gifted and Talented Education Rejects on Tony Curry Radio. Have a nice day.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.